This is English Mojo. Thank you for joining us. Episode 25. The Newest Campaign Tricks. Part 1. Are we going to be outsmarted by the candidates this election? Big money is coming to the latest American presidential contest. $1 billion, making it the most expensive ever. And that means the wordiest. This bankroll has stimulated great flows of rhetoric, from contenders in pursuit of the keys to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The majority party candidates, the funds, and the great word mass they support are all attracted to the huge honeypot of registered voters. That $1 billion works out to about $8 per voter. Money for campaign teams to build the candidates' brands. In other words, money for marketing. So far, the leading 17 contenders include a gaggle of senators and, standing in the wings, a senator actor. This last should come as no surprise to anyone. After all, a senator is an actor with a captive audience, an unlimited budget, and dozens of silent partners. The main distinction of senators is that they talk about themselves, what they want to be associated with, and the impact they imagine they have, even more than actors do. They are also highly practiced at working in subtexts, those messages within the message, those deliberately unobvious parts of statements they most want remembered. Like all good pitchmen, the candidates can be expected to follow the first rule of marketing whenever possible. In their speeches, in their advertising, on their websites. The first rule of marketing is repeat, repeat, repeat. Let me say that again. The first rule of... Okay, you get the picture. So, we will be hearing many subliminal subtexts, many buried messages, over and over. One of these candidates will likely be the next U.S. president. As a result, the messages they present become important, but verbiage wrapped around those messages is emotional filler, zestfully picked up by the media, from New York to New South Wales, from New Köln to New Delhi. With such a big field of candidates and so much verbiage, how can anyone escape the verbosity and yet glimpse the underlying message? That brings us to the latest battlefield where big money verbiage faces off against free web technology. Recently, a number of tools have appeared on the internet that can be adapted to these skirmishes. Called text analyzers, we can use them to do the heavy lifting of extracting subtext from verbiage. They are far-flung online services like The Topicalizer by Bjorn Wilmsman and The Text Analyzer by Mladen Adamovic, designed for different purposes altogether. However, applied guerrilla fashion in an approach I call the English Mojo Subtexting Process, or ESP for short, we can use them to crunch down the rhetoric of the candidates, peel off the excess filler, and have a look at the simple subtexts underneath. You're listening to The Newest Campaign Tricks, a presentation of EnglishMojo.com. Here's how our ESP works. In goes the raw text, copied and pasted from the internet or elsewhere. We run it through these processors, then with a little human intervention, we extract the repeated subtexts. The result can be eye-opening. A politician or his minions can serve up the usual 20 minutes worth of vague polysyllabic blah 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 blah, and the ESP can cull through the word mass left behind and translate it into no new taxes, or he cares, or whatever the real message he wanted to leave you with. As a literary investigation, ESP is rough and lacks nuance. But hey, this is politics. And the implications are enormous. Imagine knowing within seconds what a candidate was really aiming at. Imagine what can happen when candidates are confronted with the messages they've propagated over their campaigns. And this without you having to swallow and digest the oversweetened, plumped-up word mass. So, how do two of the most famous political statements in English fare when analyzed this way? Consider first Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. King's title promised a look into his vision. If we feed his text into the ESP, what we find is that he kept on message throughout. Most frequently, he used the phrase, "Let freedom ring." Next frequently, he employed the title, "I Have a Dream," and also the term, "We'll be able to." By modern marketing standards, King's I Have a Dream speech was a brilliantly executed success. His vision sold mightily to an assembled 250,000 March on Washington listeners in front of the Lincoln Memorial statue and to millions more around the world. The message of his dream has become his brand, which has become unforgettable. On a related theme, but ranking zero on the repeat-o-meter, we find Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. You know, government of the people, by the people, for the people. Lincoln repeated not one single message in his superb presentation. And maybe that's because he wasn't really marketing anything. On the heels of the main orator's two-hour presentation, his remarks were billed as a minor dedication statement, less than 3 minutes long. These two set the standards for presentations in the modern era. On the one hand was King's Baptist preacher repeat the message approach. On the other hand was Lincoln's war-weary, make your point and sit down approach. Do the current batch of presidential candidates measure up? In part two, we use the English Mojo ESP to get past their rhetoric and extract their subtext for scrutiny. We also open a free rhetoric-busting service that anyone can use and begin our Campaign Watch project. Join us then. Music provided by Nikleus. This is Joseph Cashmere. Thanks for joining us. Find links to the subjects discussed here and more at EnglishMojo.com. And you're invited to send your comments to EnglishMojo@gmail.com. Until next time.